The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. Brought to you by Shelled Comics, the Shelled Comics blog, and more at ShelledComics.com. I'm Duvall. Welcome, my wonderful, lovely co-host, Dave Draper.
Hey, howdy, hey. Stranger.
Howdy, stranger. Dave and I were not here with you guys last week.
Stuff happened.
Well, I wasn't feeling well, and I had some crap news from the doctor. And don't worry, I'm not dying. No one worry. Just my blood pressure is super high. Again, been a stressful several months. So, yeah, it was like 158 over something. So it was higher than it should have been. So now I'm on higher blood pressure medicine, and I probably should work out every day to, you know, lower that nonsense.
That might be lower than my last thing from the dentist. Really? Now, why the dentists are giving me blood pressure?
Well, they want to make sure, you know, blood's fine, so when they pull your teeth out, it doesn't spurt.
My teeth are fine.
Your teeth are fine?
So, yeah, they are. Yeah, that actually is... That was my blood pressure at the dentist.
Really? Yeah. So, it was kind of a crappy week. That turned into a pretty decent weekend for me.
Yeah.
Dave spent all weekend rearranging Toy Room.
Yeah, that's actually one of our fan questions.
Yes.
And spoiler alert, the answer is yes, entirely too much.
We'll discuss that in a little bit. But if you listen to Married to the Collection, you know, Carrie and I celebrated our birthday weekend and journeyed around to...
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I sent you a text. I made the minimal amount of effort.
You did make the minimal amount of effort.
Got your present.
Well, I know. Dave did give me a present. I took a picture of it, and I keep forgetting to put it on Facebook. I meant to the night I got it, and then... I think I came home and fell into a well of depression.
Yeah, it's like people are like, what'd you get? And I'm like, oh yeah, I got stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Dave got me my own copy of the Ghostbusters board game.
Yes, I did.
So I could stop borrowing his to play it.
Well, you seem, I know you love Ghostbusters.
I do, and I love that game. Yeah. I thought it was, I like the concept of that game. I like how it plays. I know a lot of people crap on the battle system. All the reviews I've seen, that's all they do is crap all over the battle system. And I don't mind the battle system so much.
It's fine. My
only complaint with that game is I wish the ghosts did more without either being missed or having another ghost force them to do things.
Yeah.
That's my only problem with the game.
I hear you.
But if you never played it, it's fun. It's a good game. It's a good game for it's a good game for at least up to three people or more. Three or four. Because there's so much to take care of. Everybody's got to take care of ghosts and their Ghostbusters, and it's a lot. But I like it. I like the game. And that was Dave's birthday present to me. But, we're back, gang. Dave and I were talking off air about Game of Thrones, which Dave has finally sat down to start watching.
Finally broke. Now, for the record, I've read the books.
Dave has read the books.
Dave has
slogged through the last three books.
Yeah. And I've tried to give the series a couple of chances before, and I just didn't get into it. And everyone's making all this noise about this last week's episode, and just, you know, we're now to the point where stuff is apparently happening.
Yes.
And since Martin apparently is never going to finish these books, this is the only way I'm going to get resolution.
Yeah, that's true.
So I've kind of, like, broken down, and, I mean, I've had them all. I've been getting them on DVD when they come out, so... It was just a question of actually forcing myself to sit down in front of the TV
and watch them. Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing. The last 2 days, actually. I burned through the first season the last 2 days.
Yeah. How many seasons are they up to now? Six? Seven?
I think six.
Six?
I think we're on the seventh season. I'm not 100% sure.
And this is the last season that they're
doing? I think there's two seasons, but they're short.
Right. They're like 10 episodes or something like that. Yeah.
Well, the first season.
Seven, maybe.
Like, the first season's only like, I think, 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, although I will say HBO, like, putting two episodes per disc is a jerk move.
Oh, yeah.
That's annoying, man, because I'm constantly getting up and, like, changing
the disc. Having to change the disc. You're like, God, son of a...
Come on, man.
It's on Blu-ray, for God's sakes. You've got all that space. Use it.
I think mine are the DVDs.
Are they DVDs?
That was cheap.
Oh, David. I know. And then we caught up on talks of this season's Rick and Morty.
Yep.
This last episode with Pickle Rick was a phenomenal episode.
It was good.
Oh, spectacular. We were discussing, Dave pointed out, I didn't catch it. I don't know why I didn't catch it. Probably, like I told Dave, probably the stress, but the fact that they were referencing Pickle Rick as
the
Pickle Man.
Selenia.
And I never caught that. And Dave was like, they're stealing our riff.
I was like, they're biting our rhymes.
They are. So now
Justin Rolliard's a board fan, apparently.
The Pickle Man. The Pickle Man? Now Puppet's got to be scared of Dan every time he's over.
Puppet was usually pretty spooked by Dan anyway.
That's true. Now he's got to be more spooked. Oh, what a great episode. I was kind of sad to see Dark Tower came out and bombed pretty bad. Even though it was number one movie in America, it didn't make a whole hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, like last I saw it was $19 million for the weekend, which is pretty
not it's
crummy
pretty,
weekend.
Yeah, pretty miserable. Especially
it only cost.
It only cost $60 million to make.
It only cost, which I can't help but think is part of the problem because I've heard people compare it to the Masters of the Universe movie.
Right.
Where it's like, hey, we're in this amazing fantasy world. Let's go to Earth.
Yeah. let's go to Earth and do stuff there.
Let's go to Earth and like hang out where we don't have to build sets or use obstacles.
Yeah. Let's just do it all there.
So, yeah.
It's not doing good overseas.
I would imagine.
Yeah, it's only made $8 million over there. So it's making all its money here, which, again, not great. But... Again, I was kind of like, oh, it bombed pretty bad. That's kind of crappy.
I don't like Sony.
Well, so I know.
I'm happy that they fail.
Yeah, I know. I don't like them a whole lot.
I mean, like I like the first couple of books in the Gunslinger series.
Then they kind of fall into the same trap that Martin fell into, where he just kept trying to like finish a resolution, and it just kept getting farther and farther away from it.
Oh,
and just
kind of no, King along. Always knew. Like in the foreword or the afterword of The Gunslinger? See, I have a weird relationship with this book because I'm so old. When these books first came out, they were like a special, rare, limited edition printing. You just couldn't get one. You couldn't go to your store and get one. You had to like order it and it was like super rare.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
So I missed the first one.
Oh.
Because I didn't even know it existed at the time.
Right.
And it finally came out on tape, read by Stephen King. So that's how I have the copy of The Gunslinger. And then the second book I got for Christmas. I asked my mom for Christmas. So I have that schmancy limited edition
second
of
book.
Drawing of the Three.
Right.
Yeah, the way I even heard about it is Leah's husband, Chris, he had a calendar. He had a Stephen King calendar.
Oh.
And one of the months is The Slow Mutants from The Gunslinger. I'm like, what the hell is that? And then he's like, it's a weird book that you can't get.
The 80s.
Yeah. And then eventually I think the third book was released mass paperback. And,
right.
But
those I'd say early in his career, but he was writing in the 70s, but like
no, like the first book is really early in his career, and then the second book is middle in the career, the third book is kind of autumn of his career, and then the last couple came out I think after the accident with the van. And it's weird, it's meta, you know, you were saying you didn't understand this, but it ties in every Stephen King book, apparently.
Yeah.
Stephen King is a character in the
books. In the book, yeah.
In fact, one character dies saving him from the van.
Oh.
I didn't realize, because apparently the first book is so old that it doesn't mesh up with stuff in the later books, and apparently he revised it at some point.
Oh, really?
So, like, yeah, so I just have, like, the audio version of the original book. So, like, the man in black in the original book dies at the end. But apparently he doesn't, and he's Randall Flagg from The Stand.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's kind of
because he dies at the end of the book.
Well, and I had just discovered, because we got to talking about this, they were mentioning that creature, It, from It, is actually a race of creatures from The Gunslinger.
Yeah. Well, it's that they... There's like this dimension where the monsters live. And he's one of the monsters.
Yeah.
And then the turtle from It is in it too. In The Gunslinger books too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no. Like the Dark Tower itself literally is apparently God. And it ties all the universes together. And that was kind of the whole shtick is that... Roland's universe... the Gunslinger's universe is in an atom and a rose in a field in our universe.
Well, kooky.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Well, and that was like, and that's back in the day before that kind of stuff. Because, you know, there's that famous Simpsons opening where they do that shtick.
Oh, yeah.
Because atoms and solar systems kind of look alike.
Right.
Although Neil deGrasse Tyson has a whole thing about how that doesn't actually work. Right. Doesn't actually work. but yeah, but in the, I think either the foreword or the after, I think the afterword of the Gunslinger, King talks about, like, you know, people thought Dickens was crazy with some of his stuff, man. You people have no idea how crazy I am with this book. Like, wow. He actually said, I don't think I will ever finish these books.
Wow.
Which he did eventually, but, like, you know.
It took him forever.
He's like, I don't think I will live long enough to finish these books.
Wow.
So, yeah, no, he had a crazy plan from the start, and he was up front. But I really think the first book is the best because it's the simplest. It tells a simple story. It sets the world.
Right.
After that, it starts to get into the goofy. I think once he starts, once he committed to everything ties together, which I think was a post-Van thing, really. Then it starts becoming kind of annoying.
Gets a little wonky.
The priest from Salem's Lot is a character, and it's like all the stuff ties together, and you know, like lots of the later Stephen King books tie into it. Insomnia ties into it. Bleak House, I think. Bleak House or Dark House? It's the sequel to The Shining. That one directly ties into it.
Wow.
Yeah, and then famously, the ending is like hugely anticlimactic.
Really?
Oh, it's like, yeah, it's like, I like the very ending. I think we've talked about it on the show, where Roland's whole quest originally, like, I don't know what it is in the movie, and I don't know what it is in the later books, but the original quest was his world was dying.
Right.
That rose in that field is dying.
Right.
And it, the way they describe it is so cool. It's like his world has moved on. So everything's just dying and fading and collapsing. And he's trying to save his world. He's
right.
Literally just trying to find the Dark Tower and revitalize his world. Well, in the books, he fails. He gets there, but there was a horn he was supposed to blow that would do a thing. I don't know. But he didn't have the horn. He forgot the horn. And so he fails, but then the ending of the books is the beginning of the original book, the first book.
Right.
He's back in the desert. He's chasing the man in black. But there is a little more color. There are flowers blooming. So the implication is that he failed, but he made it a little better, and maybe each time he's incrementally fixing things.
Ah.
And the big thing about the movie is that people saw that he had the horn in the movie.
Right.
And then they said, no, this is what happens next.
This
is a continuation of the story from the books. So.
It's pretty interesting.
That was just a big, long rant about a bunch of Stephen King books, half of which I haven't read. But, well, I got to the third one, and I was still enjoying it. Because the other thing, the weird thing is, even though you hear Gunslinger and you know it's this fantasy thing, the world itself is almost like Fallout.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's like
post-apocalyptic kind
of. Post-apocalyptic, like robot trains and robots and machinery, but it's all like dead. It's all worn down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that, but it got to the point, like, I was pretty sure the next book was basically, he goes back and tells a story about how everybody he loved dies. I'm like, I don't really want to go, you know, get attached to these characters and have them all die.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always been my thing about Stephen King is my favorite character always dies in a Stephen King book. And in The Stand, there were like 200 characters, and literally they pared them down to everybody but like the last three characters I didn't like.
Yeah.
Also, it had the worst ending on Earth, which is, look, it's the Hand of God. And the Hand of God came down and blew up all the bad guys in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But it's literally the Hand of God. It's literally Stephen King wrote a 1,000-page book and went, I'm bored. And then just, like, smacked all his toys off the table.
Didn't the movie, the TV series...
I can't remember. I think the TV movie just had the bomb go
was
off.
Just had the nuclear bomb, and that was the Hand of God.
Well, no. The trash can man shows up with the bomb in the book.
Right.
It's just that somebody's doing some kind of force lightning deal, and then the force lightning deal suddenly coalesces and becomes the Hand of God, and the Hand of God sets off the bomb. I think in the movie, the bomb just goes off.
Right.
The miniseries.
Yeah, the miniseries.
But like, yeah, no, but literally the line is, look, Larry, it's the Hand of God. And it's like, and it was the Hand of God. And you're like, you can't see it, but I am like miming utter frustration and just.
Dave is,
we went through all this, and just the Hand of God comes down and blows up the bad guys.
Dave is very much over it at this
point. The end.
No more.
I'm glad I invested, you know, four days of my life plowing through this.
Yes. That giant book that was like 2,000 pages.
King's one of those guys like Roland Davies. Roland Davies? The guy from the first couple of seasons of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
He has great ideas. He has great setups. And he just cannot end things.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. His the last book I read of his was the JFK book.
Okay, that one I haven't read.
1963, yeah. And I read that, and I liked it. And I thought, like, I wouldn't say the ending was anticlimactic, but it was not what I expected. Like, the last couple chapters of that book, you were like, oh, well, this is different. And then the ending, I was kind of like, all right, well, you know, it all ended well, I guess. But
well, the ending of the Gunslinger, spoiler alert, is the bad guy, the Crimson King, the main villain, the guy who wants to destroy the tower and destroy the universe.
Yeah.
So Roland meets this guy who can, like, draw things and they happen.
Right.
So he draws the Crimson King and erases him.
Uh-huh.
You'll notice I'm not saying anything more. That's how they beat the guy who's out to destroy the universe.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, no, that's not anticlimactic at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. I find it interesting we talk about movies. Lionsgate, if they have their way, apparently they're going to do more Hunger Games and Twilight movies.
Didn't those both end?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Well, but here's the
pretty thing. Definitively, too, might I add.
So did Harry Potter.
Yeah, I know. But they found a way around that by telling the stories before, but where, you know, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find, which I liked that movie. I thought it was good.
Prequels.
The prequels, yeah.
Prequels. And, of course, the story of the play about his wiener kid.
Yeah. Which is coming to the States next year. Coming to New York next year. I kind of want to see it.
Wiener kid.
Apparently, Lionsgate CEO John Feltheimer implied that the studio is looking to produce more installments or spinoffs of the Hunger Games and Twilight franchises, provided they get Twilight author Stephanie Meyer and Hunger Games writer Suzanne Collins to sign off.
Say no. Be strong. You have money.
Feltheimer said during a quarterly earnings call with analysis on this last Tuesday, there are a lot more stories to be told, and we're ready to tell them when our creators are ready to tell those stories.
No.
So what you're saying is, you guys don't have any stories to tell, but you're crossing your fingers and hoping the authors have some more stories to tell. Hunger Games might be, they say it in this article too, that it might be worth exploring, because we only got to see one portion of the districts. It might be interesting, although we know what happens. We know, for anyone who hadn't read the books or seen the movies, I'm going to spoil it, but Katniss basically kills the president and then kills the resistance leader because she's a bad guy.
She's also corrupt, yeah.
Yeah, and she ends up bringing peace to the world, finally.
Hooray!
And Twilight, for God's sakes, Twilight ended definitively. Like, it was like, here we go, it's all happily ever after, yay! I mean,
There's something to be said about a satisfying... you know, how I was just bagging on King for not being able to end stories. Part of that is because there's nothing more satisfying than a good ending to a story.
Right.
And then you walk away and do something. And I realize that in our modern culture, that's almost impossible to tell an original story nowadays. I mean, Valerian wasn't even original, but like...
Oh, God,
it wasn't based on a thing that we know.
No.
A pop culture thing that's been mined into a million pieces. But, you know, everyone rejected it.
Oh, boy, did they. Rejected it hard.
The movie you said couldn't fail.
I didn't say that. The director said it.
Parroted like a parroting parrot.
Thanks to the one and only Ryan Reynolds, we got not only our first look at Domino from Deadpool 2.
Yeah, because we've been gone 2 weeks.
We haven't gone 2 weeks. So we got a first look at Domino, and the internet shit all over it.
Yeah, the internet did the whole, she's a black person, and the character's white. And it's like, no, the character's not white.
No, the character's not white.
No, the character is... literally white.
White, yes.
Because she's a mutant.
Yeah.
She's a mutant albino. I like the leather outfit.
I like the leather outfit. I'm okay with the different approach.
My only thing is she doesn't look like a mutant.
Well,
she looks like a supermodel.
Here's my thing is that her mutant power was always super dumb. Like,
what
she
was
just
her
had
power?
She just had obscene luck.
Okay, like her mutant, so she power was Longshot.
Yeah, basically. She was the female version of Longshot.
And...
so, but they've said they found a way to kind of make her mutant powers interesting. And then...
oh, well, that means something stupid.
Yeah. And then this week, I believe Monday, he sent out, because they were getting ready to film with Josh Brolin on set. So they, before anybody else could spoil it, they sent out the picture. Ryan Reynolds and the studio sent out the pictures of Brolin as Deadpool. Cable. Or as Cable, I mean. God.
Nathan Dayspring.
Yes, Nathan Dayspring.
Christopher Nathan Summers.
Yes.
Ascani's son.
And
I read comics in the 90s.
I have to admit, I like the look. A lot of people shit all over this, too. They were like, he's not big enough, blah, blah, blah.
At first, it was like people thought it was really cool, and then suddenly there was like backlash.
Yeah,
suddenly it was like cool to be pooping on it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he needs to work the chest out a little more.
Fine.
It's like, he's fine.
And for a live-action version of Cable, you're not going to do much better than that.
Yeah, no. And let's cross our fingers and hope that Ryan and his writers figured out how to properly portray Cable, because I don't think anything's ever done that character. The character hasn't done itself justice. Like, what are his powers? Nobody knows.
Oh,
he's got all kinds of weird, like...
No, he's an Omega-level psionics.
Psionics, but he can't use it because
of the technovirus.
Right, because he has to use
it. Always fighting it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing, is like, he never uses his powers because his powers are being used to keep himself from being turned into a machine.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Well, the thing is, it was a Rob Liefeld creation.
I know.
So, ill-defined power set is, like, right there in the...
Yes. But people were complaining, oh, he doesn't have shoulder pads. Shut up.
He doesn't have shoulder pads, but I don't know how you would do shoulder pads and not... If they did shoulder pads, it would be, those shoulder pads are big and stupid and fake-looking.
Yeah. And they're saying that Cable, the picture of Cable, might hint at the aspect of the story we could see play out, and it very well could involve Cable's surrogate daughter, Hope Summers. Because in the picture, if you notice, by his left hand, he's got a teddy bear. And then
he had a son.
People started looking at the trailer that we got to see before Logan that they filmed, and on the phone booth that Deadpool goes into is just the word Hope. Written in the corner.
I don't know
how
I feel about that, because, like, actually, that would tie into Logan really well.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, even though, like, it's a completely different storyline. Like, even though the Hope Summers storyline in the comics is this whole... It ties in with Wanda and House of M and No More Mutants and...
Yeah.
Because in the comics, the Scarlet Witch, who you know from the Avengers...
Yes.
She's manipulated by her brother into creating a world where basically everybody gets what they want.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody's miserable. So she gets ticked off because she realizes that she's been manipulated. So she resets everything, and she gets rid of all the mutants. She says, no more mutants.
Yeah.
And everyone but 100 mutants, who all just happen to be the really popular ones, surprise, lose their powers, and no more mutants are born. And then, I can't remember the storyline name, but a mutant is finally born, and that's Hope.
Hope, yeah.
And she's not really Summers. She's not a Summers. It's just that these bad guys come in and wipe out her entire town.
Right.
Because they want to, like, make sure that no more mutants are born. And they find her and they give her to Nathan, to Cable. So since he's a Summers, he adopts her and she becomes Hope Summers. But she's not, like...
She's not an actual...
Everyone always thinks that she's, like, Jean's kid because she's got the red hair. And she's not actually related to anybody.
No.
And then, like, she was, like, the most important thing in the world for, like, 5 years. And now nobody ever talks about her.
Well, she's grown up now, too, I think.
They don't care about her. Part of it was they sandbagged the X-Men anyway.
So. Well, yeah. Boy, did they. And earlier this week, Disney announced, even though they just signed, last year?
I don't know.
A contract with Netflix that would give Netflix exclusive access to all their films, including Marvel and Pixar. They announced on Tuesday that as of 2019... they were going to pull everything from Netflix and they were going to start their own streaming service for Disney. Now.
Yeah, join the club.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, I was kind of setting you up too.
I know. Not only that, but FX Plus, the FX channel, FX, FX2, FX3, blah, 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 has announced their streaming service is going to launch next month. Here's my problem.
Well, and don't forget that this is on top of CBS.
CBS is
doing like Star Trek Discovery, which is a disaster.
Yeah,
is the flagship, no pun intended, of their streaming service.
Yeah,
everybody wants a piece of that Netflix.
Everybody
pie.
Wants a piece of that Netflix pie, and like Dave was saying off microphone that Netflix didn't got a whole lot of that pie because they've been spending a little bit too much money.
Yeah, that's what
if
I've
you
heard,
notice,
heard,
there's
I've
like
heard
400 their... Netflix original programs, and you're going. Well, if you guys are only making money off subscribers, how are you making all this money to spend on these shows?
Yeah, because from what I've heard, the deal they signed with CBS to get the foreign rights to Discovery basically paid for the show.
Yeah.
Like, CBS did not have to put out any money for that show, which is good, because apparently it's awful.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
But, so they paid money for that. Stranger Things has got to be expensive. The Marvel stuff's got to be expensive.
Well, yeah.
Then you have House of Cards, and Orange is the New Black, and some other things that I saw commercials for that I never heard of.
Yeah. All the animated stuff they do has got to be expensive.
Oh, Voltron, yeah.
Voltron, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard Netflix has a real bad cash flow problem.
Yeah. My problem is, like, a lot of people were wondering, well, what happens, like, great, if Disney pulls all their stuff, what, you know.
Disney is the one company I think could pull it off. Well, because they have so much.
They have a massive library of family-friendly titles, and if that's the only place you can stream.
They've got years of TV shows, they've got movies, they've got movies, and they've got Pixar, and they've got Star Wars, and they've got Marvel.
Yeah. I agree. They did say that CEO Bob Iger was asked, well, what happens, like, people were worried, like, what happens with the Marvel stuff? Because we're supposed to have stuff beyond what's coming, like Punisher, more seasons, this and that.
It's supposed to be a Daredevil season 3, Luke Cage 2.
What's happening with all that? And Iger said, we are going to continue to let Netflix produce the Marvel shows on Netflix past 2019, because apparently those contracts go beyond that.
Yeah.
But beyond that, they may pull those after, well, they may pull future seasons over to their own streaming channel or somehow share them. It's a big mess.
Here's the thing. They're gonna. Like I said, Disney could pull it off, but I think guys like FX, guys like CBS, guys that don't really have the goods.
Right.
And FX probably has, like, a lot of stuff from Fox, but they're gonna kill it because people don't want to pay for anything. Like, millennials don't want to pay for anything anymore.
No.
But you're not gonna want to pay for Hulu and Netflix, and FX and CBS and Disney, and
Amazon Prime. Yeah, it's too much, man. It's just everybody wants a piece of that streaming pie, and they're gonna realize that people's money for, because a lot of people that do those still have cable, and cable's expensive.
No, like pooping.
Like, what's gonna happen is streaming is going to make the cable, because more people are going to turn cable off to go to streaming, but then they've got more options.
I think people are going to get sick of it.
Well, what's going to happen is the cable companies are lowering their prices to bring people back to cable, because all those stations are already available on cable.
Your word to God's ear.
Yeah, so.
Well, you know, the other thing is, like, Disney already has three networks. FX has, like, three networks.
Yeah.
It's like, do I really want to pay more just for another? Like, I'm sitting here, like, I feel like I'm the smart guy because I never got rid of DVDs.
Yeah.
Like, because this is not going to last. Everyone's getting greedy, and everyone's going to cause the whole thing to collapse.
Yeah, boy, are they.
Disney could pull it off. CBS was dumb to try that.
Yeah. Because they were like, subscribe, you get Star Trek and Big Bang Theory and stuff. And everybody's like, Nobody cares.
Star Trek is bad.
Have you watched the first episode?
No, but apparently, like, it was funny because I was listening to a podcast about it, and they're talking about how, like, their inside sources are saying they're gonna come out and they're gonna say that it's an anthology, and wrap it up the first season,
right?
So that they can move on to something else for the next season,
right?
And they're like, yeah, we've heard, like, this is a rumor for Damage Control. The next day, the announcement came out. Oh no, this was always planned as an anthology.
Huh.
Just like, wow. Yeah, it's supposed to be awful.
Apparently Inhumans is terrible too.
I've heard that.
Yeah, apparently it is a disaster.
It's hard to believe that a show that has, like, that kind of a budget requirement would fail on a network that couldn't afford Ghost Rider for a full season.
Well, and also apparently The Defenders
I've heard.
It's not great. Like, the first, like, nobody teams up until, like, three episodes in, and
nobody gels.
But apparently, a lot of people are saying it suffers from what all of the Marvel shows have suffered from up to this point on Netflix, is that it just is so slow building to get to anything of interest.
I think Daredevil was pretty good, both seasons. And Jessica Jones was good.
Yeah, but then you get into Luke Cage. Iron Fist, which I still have not watched because apparently it just plods along forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
no.
I'm not missing a whole lot there, I don't think.
No. I can spoil the end for you if you want me to, because I don't even know how that would tie into Defenders.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but apparently Inhumans is terrible. Terrible.
Inhumans is a thing. Inhumans and New Gods, which is DC,
right,
are things that nobody but Jack Kirby should do.
I agree.
Because Kirby had this crazy, like, he had this thing where he was, because you see this, like, it's in his Thor comics, but Simonson kind of took over Thor and went back to mythological roots.
Right.
But it's in his Thor comics, it's in the Inhumans, and it's in the New Gods, where it's this Shakespeare, quasi-Shakespearean thing going on, but it's also filtered through 1930s sci-fi aesthetic.
Yeah.
Which Kirby excelled at. So, like, part of the reason it didn't click at the time is because it was weird and stilted and kind of, you know, like, it didn't appeal to kids. Like, as an adult, it's kind of crazy brilliant.
Right.
But, like, nobody gets that. Like, they're treating the Inhumans like the X-Men, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, knockoff X-Men. And that's not how the Inhumans work.
No.
And the Inhumans don't work particularly well, I think, even when Kirby was necessarily... Well, and that's the thing, is, like, because Stan Lee would come in and... It's a gas, man. Hey, crazy 60s hip lingo for the kids.
Ugh.
Well, you know. Had to make it accessible somehow.
Oh, that's true.
But I just, yeah, like, I think New Gods, except for Darkseid and Apocalypse, because he's just a bad guy.
Right.
But the actual New Genesis stuff with Highfather and all that. Yeah, you'll notice no one ever does anything with that.
Right.
Because it's Kirby being Kirby, man, and he's a genius. And you either figure out what he did and try to replicate that, or you leave it alone. And again, like I said, Inhumans is not a knockoff X-Men, but that's what they're yeah. doing, is a knockoff X-Men.
9 times out of 10, everybody goes, we're going to leave that alone.
Yeah, well,
we're going to go over here and do this.
Well, the problem is Ike Perlmutter, that's like his, apparently that's his favorite thing, are the Inhumans.
Really?
Yeah, that's why he was always pushing for the movie. And then you'll notice once he got pushed out of the movie, suddenly it became a TV show.
Yeah.
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 That's his baby.
Ugh.
It's an ugly, ugly baby.
It is. It was not was not done well on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It was half-assed on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
But like I said, man, if you don't have the budget to do Ghost Rider, you don't have the budget to do Medusa and Lockjaw, and your main character never talks. Okay, well, you know, Snake Eyes is cool, but he's got the other G.I. Joes around him.
Yeah.
Black Bolt's just wandering around on Earth in a blue suit. With nobody else.
Reminds me of the days of the Gen X movie, and
it's very close to that. I think. I think it's going to go down in those annals.
Ugh! Terrible.
Terrible.
Moving on to toys.
Oh yeah, this is a toy podcast.
It is a toy podcast. Mezco showed off pictures of their new 112th Collective Batman. Batman: The Ascending Knight is part of a trilogy, beginning, middle, and end. The Ascending Knight is Batman in his first year, designed to be contemporary, but still have a first appearance feel. And it's kind of neat. He's got the big ears, the elongated ears, and the darker costume with the plain bat.
But he doesn't have the stupid purple gloves.
He does not have the stupid purple gloves, which kind of makes me sad.
No, it makes me happy.
Oh, does it? Oh,
I hate the purple gloves.
Oh,
they're stupid. Hence, stupid purple gloves. Yeah, that's kind of like a best of all possible worlds. That's neat.
Yeah, it's kind of a...
Too bad those are giant figures that I just can't fit in my collection anymore.
It's kind of a cross between the 89 Batman costume and the original Batman costume, because the belt's kind of gold.
Yeah, the belt. Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah. It's very cool. I mean, Mezco's been doing a bang-up job with these series, and that's another company that gets shit on a lot because of their 112 stuff. Like, people are always complaining about it.
They do too much. They're like Funko now at this point.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to keep up, but...
Yeah, that's the thing.
It looks he looks nice.
It looks like a cool figure.
Yeah, it looks very, very nice. But that'll be out for people to $80. Be expected to ship between January.
That's the other thing.
Between January and March of next year. So
there's too much. They're too expensive. Yes. And I got too much else that
Dave is focused on.
Yeah.
My Little Pony the movie is getting new Funko Pop. Surprise, surprise. Some of these have started to hit. But they basically released...
I know I promised not to do the gag anymore, but oh man, you're pushing it.
I know. But they're releasing a series of our original friends as sea ponies. So they get to be little... They get to be mermaids in the movie, basically.
Why?
It's part of the film. I don't know.
Why?
One of the new characters, Tempest Shadow, is coming. She's the Broken Horn Unicorn in the film. And those will be out any day now. Probably pretty darn quick. Because I know I've seen people have pictures of them in hand, so they'll start hitting massive here real soon.
Why?
It's My Little Pony the movie, man. They got to gear up for that November release. Zyka Toys revealed yet another character in the Sektars line of action figures, as they've been doing one a month. This one reveals us to the hero character Mantor, the heroic Sektar of the Shining Realm.
He looks cool.
He looks cool, but Zyka, maybe...
I'm not backing nothing until I get toys in my hand.
Yeah, why don't you get some stuff there, Zyka? I know. And that was also the other thing, is Boss Fight showed off... Well, they didn't show off, but they let everybody see who the next character in the Bucky O'Hare series was going to be. Let's see if I can find that post. I almost forgot about that. I think they're going to debut him at New Jersey Comic Con.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed because I really want that Marauders figure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure we have some friends somewhere in Jersey that are going.
I always reach out for help, and no one ever helps me.
Oh, Dave, that's not true.
That's why I always spend a fortune on eBay.
On the eBays. On the eBays.
So it's the duck?
Our good friend Deadeye Duck is going to be the next figure. And he will be on display at New Jersey Collectors Con. Well, everybody will get to see pictures of Deadeye here real soon. August 12th and 13th, so this weekend.
Yeah.
This coming weekend, you'll be able to see him. So it's kind of cool. Transformers HasCon has revealed their convention exclusives. So the exclusive...
When is that stupid thing anyway?
September.
All right.
But HasCon will be releasing the Converting Power Bank is a HasCon exclusive, and the Titans Return RC Special Edition set will be available for purchase... for the first time at HasCon before a wider release, but the Optimus Prime Converting Power Bank will be only available at HasCon as a transforming power bank to power your phone or whatever else you want to power. So I'm dead serious. And his sword lights up because of the USB cord included. It's dumb. Let's just be honest, people. It's dumb. It's $50. It's kind of dumb. It's as dumb as the... Was it BotCon last year? Like, the last BotCon, they did that sound wave that transformed into a non-functioning tablet.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb, too. I was like, really? That's silly. But the Titans Return RC Special Edition will be $25, so not bad. Comes in a nice, fancy box. You know, the funny thing is, I'm not digging the Titans Return fit. Like, they did a blur... Or not a blur. They did
Cup.
They did Cup, which I thought the Generations Cup was a much better figure than the Titans Return figure was.
Well, I remember you liked Generations in general. You thought they did a really good job with that one.
I did. I thought they did a great job with those. The RC here just looks really kind of like the car modes.
I don't know. See, I was never a big fan of the car, you know, the space cars. The
and then the robot mode though is just kind of honestly terrible. Like, the Generations version was much better done, looked a lot better. This, they basically just reused the mold for Cup, honestly, and just added some transforming features to it to make it RC, but it's pretty terrible.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
But those will be available at HasCon here real soon.
Oh, good.
Yeah. HasCon is September 8th through the 10th. So it'll be this time next month. We'll see whether or not HasCon is a success or a failure.
Oh.
I'm sure it'll be the second.
I don't know. I have a definite opinion, but I don't know.
So apparently the only way you'll be able to get the Justice League movie 6-inch DC Multiverse Mera figure is the fact that she's an Amazon exclusive. She is currently listed for pre-order. Will be out on November 15th. That is the only way that you'll be able to get that. Specifically, they said they know that Mera, Shirtless Aquaman, Regular Batman, Armored Up Cyborg, and the Parademon figures will be released as some kind of store exclusives. And the stores, of course, would include Amazon, Toys R Us, Walmart, and Target. So Mera is the first one they're offering up. Will be Amazon, so we now know that she is an Amazon exclusive. We're still waiting to hear on what the other ones are going to be. But she'll come with an extra set of hands that are spraying water. Shirtless Aquaman is going to be one I think a lot of people are going to go after just because it's...
Well, a lot of the ladies.
Yeah, it's shirtless Jason Momoa. Armored Up Cyborg,
okay.
Yeah. Regular Batman,
I already got one from Batman.
Yeah, it's pretty much...
I do need a Parademon.
Yeah, Parademon is going to be a must for Dave.
So hopefully that's not a Target.
Yeah, I know, right? Because Target is awful.
Target's terrible.
Awful, awful, awful at getting that. But she is still currently up for pre-order. You can still pre-order $19.99 plus shipping. Or free shipping on orders over $25. Or if you have Amazon Prime, it's free shipping. So there is that. But you can check that out. And then I thought this was funny. Funko is releasing a line of Dorbs based on the Golden Girls. They did the pop vinyls.
Well, they did action figures.
Yeah, they did action figures too
for New York Comic Con.
They're pretty cute because.
Would you say they're adorable?
The mother from that show, I can't think of her name.
Estelle Getty.
Well, no. What was her character's name? Dorothy.
No, Dorothy was the daughter.
Oh, okay. I like that. There's a different version of it that says, "I'm ready. Take me, Hurricane 91."
Dorothy Rose
Blanche?
No, Blanche was Blanche, the... No, well, no, it was Blanche. Blanche was the third one.
Yeah.
She was Rue McClanahan, and then, I can't remember who was Delgate. I remember the actress.
Yeah.
Dorothy Spornak, Rose Nyland, Blanche DuBois, and, God, I can't remember. Sophia! Sophia was the mom.
I'm looking at Dave in utter fascination that Dave knew the last names of those characters.
I used to watch that show. Like, not that long ago, like maybe a year or two ago.
Really?
On the Hallmark Channel in the morning. I would wake up and watch like an episode or two of Golden Girls.
I did not know their names.
Getting my shower.
We're getting your shower. The other big news last week was that the LEGO Ideas summer review? Fall review? I don't know.
Wow.
They're one of their annual...
That lady did not speak English as her first language.
No, she did not. They
spoke it well, but yeah, like, it was clearly not her. Like, she had the weird foreign accent.
She had the weird accent to her...
Yeah, she had the weird accent.
Yeah, to her English. Would
put emphasis on other words.
Yeah.
I don't know.
LEGO announced that they announced the reveals, which...
They announced the teaser for the sneak peek of the reveal of the preview.
So the main LEGO Ideas winner was Ship in a Bottle.
Yeah.
Which actually is kind of neat looking.
I don't know how you do the bottle with Legos.
Yeah, whoever did it because it looked really good. And then they said there was a bonus addition to the winner this time around. And they announced that they were indeed going to do LEGO Voltron. Transformable LEGO Voltron.
Minifigs or GTFO?
Oh, David. The set will feature all five lines that can then be combined into form Voltron. Now, my question is, will you be able to form Voltron once the lines are built, and just like the toys, will they transform?
Or are they like Creos, where you have to take them apart and rebuild it?
No!
LEGO's pretty slick. Yeah, I think they would do it properly.
Yeah, LEGO will be able to do it properly, but as long as they're not Creos, where it's like, here's Optimus Prime, transform into a truck. Okay, now take them apart, transform them into a robot.
Yeah, that was bullcrap.
Really? Really, Creo? You guys couldn't figure out how to design this? Really? You guys suck. Hasbro, you suck.
Well, yeah.
But I was very excited about this. I thought it was...
Yeah, I know. Everybody was really excited.
Yeah, everybody was really excited
except
about it.
Except me.
Except Dave, because Dave doesn't care.
I'm not a big Voltron guy.
But I like the concept and the idea of having five transformable lions built out of Legos that then form big old LEGO Voltron. That, to me, is kind of cool. With this big old blazing sword, which, of course, the blazing sword, of course, I can't tell if he made that out of Legos or if it's just...
He would have to.
Well,
otherwise, I'm thinking, it would be cheating.
Well, that's true.
It would be dirty, wicked, old boy.
It would be. I'm thinking maybe he cut Lego pieces to fit the design of the
cheating.
Sword. Well, I mean...
No, you can make... I mean, I've seen, like, Ninjago and Lego Movie and... Lord of the Rings, crazy pointy pieces.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm excited. We'll probably see LEGO Voltron. I don't know.
And
probably.
Also, the pictures that we're looking at is not the toy. It's
no.
Just the submission.
Yeah, it was the submission.
Because remember, Ghostbusters, the thing was different.
Yeah, it was much different. But we'll see the actual LEGO designs probably next year at some point.
Yeah.
At some point along the lines. Some Kickstarter stuff going on. A friend of the show, Philip Reed, who just released, and I just got it in the mail, a Galaxy of Action figure savings, which is an unofficial look at Star Wars newspaper advertisements from 77 to 85.
Weird. You got a thing you kickstarted.
I did get a thing
kickstarted. How bizarre.
I know Dave hasn't got a lot of things he's kickstarted.
Yeah, I know.
That's because I tend to kickstart books, and those actually ship.
The thing that has the longest wait time so far, that's the most overdue, is a book.
Oh, is it really?
That
the G.I. Joe, the Action Force book. Well,
last email I got from that, I think it was a week or two ago, it was on the boat coming to America.
Oh, my God. And you're just all right, can I have it already? Phillips got another book on right now that actually has been backed, and it's still got 45 hours to go as of this recording. But
that did everyone else a lot of good.
Well, I know, but still, it's not. I mean, there's no stretch goals or anything because he's got the book done. But this one is Modern Army Action Figures, and it's the same idea as the Star Wars ones. It's basically a look.
Well, if you think about it, if you do one of these, you've kind of done the research for 4 or 5 of them.
Yes,
you're looking through newspapers.
Yeah, exactly. So the G.I. Joe one is done. It's just waiting for the Kickstarter thing to back for it to be printed and shipped. I like his books. I like the layout of them. I like the newspaper article ones cause they're kind of informative and kind of neat to look at. He does a lot of research and does a lot into it. I like the look of the G.I. Joe one cause the pages look like the file cards.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cool idea for that. So he's done his work. He's done some great stuff. So. But that book is currently up. And the other one that kind of created a little bit of controversy amongst people on the Toy World Order group, mostly because I saw it and immediately it was oh my God, this is an amazing book. And then actually Pixel Dan of all people sent me a message. He's like, hey, kind of weary about backing this because this Kickstarter campaign's got a lot of grammar errors and I'm kind of worried. There's a lot of stock pictures, Playmates pictures are all over this thing. He's like, I don't know if this book's going to happen, so I think everybody should be very careful. But there's a book out there by a creator named Jay Lawrence called the TMNT Action Figure Encyclopedia. It's a coffee table book. I think it's $50 gets you a book, so it's in the end it's $65 because shipping's $15. It is supposed to be... supposed to cover 3,500 action figure statues, weapons, accessories, and vehicles, including stuff from every company that's produced turtle stuff. I thought there was a page count. It was well over 400 pages or something like that. It was a lot. But, you start looking at this and it's I don't know about this. I did back it just because I'm apparently, this is the only time you're ever going to get this book because he said, I'm not reprinting it. This is a limited run thing. It's going to be this and then we're done. I'm not coming back to it. Although he said the book's already complete, 90% of the book, but then you
look at... Well, yeah, if you're using someone else's pictures.
Then you look at... he might have taken it down because I know a lot of people were pointing it out. Some of his page layouts that he's shown... for a book that's supposed to be 100% done, there was a page that I saw and was I don't know how I feel about that. I think he's removed it or replaced it. There was one that showed off some characters in the book, and it was the listings for the pages showed crazy clown and Mike and the Michelangelos, but the pictures were not Michelangelo. They were all kinds of other characters. Splinter was sitting there and April, and I'm for a book that's supposed to be done, I don't know how I feel about that. So a lot of controversy right now, and he says that he has that Playmates has seen the Kickstarter, that they approve of it.
Well, we know that if a company doesn't like it, they will shut it down.
And boy, will they! But he has said that they are backing it. And, they're gonna help promote it.
Okay, that does not sound right.
No, because there's nothing on here that says unofficial. The Playmates, I'm surprised Nickelodeon hadn't shut it down because. Apparently, from what I understand, people have tried to get a Turtles book made like this before, and both Playmates and Nick have been no, we don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we don't want anything to do with it, you can't do it. So for this guy just to do it,
I'm pretty sure you could do it. You just have to do it all yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, which is what he's done.
Well, in theory.
In theory.
You were just saying he was using pictures.
Well, yeah. Still got 26 days to go. It hadn't been shut down yet.
Wow.
It's a Kickstarter exclusive, so it's like, it's, you know, it's one of those projects that Kickstarter kind of pushes on the front page. It's got a $58,000 goal. It's hit almost 30,000. It's at 27,455 with 26 days to go. Will it hit that? I don't know. But after it was pointed out to me that there was a bunch of grammatical errors in that, I thought, okay, well, I'll go do some research. This guy has produced another book called The Encyclopedia of Air Jordan Sneakers. And I thought, okay, well, I'll go look, and I'll see if any of his past things were backed. They've all been successful. He's done about, you know, this book was $58,000 is what he got to support this book. I thought, okay, well, he's been successful in backing, you know, backing these books. Okay, you know, no big deal. You know, his work, the work on the Nike stuff that he showed was pretty decent. I thought, okay, well, I'll keep looking. And I went and started looking at, like, the comments to see what people were saying. Like, as of June 14th, on a Kickstarter that's been backed since, I don't know if it'll tell me. It's been a while.
Should.
People are complaining. They've sent emails about sticker books they purchased and not got any replies. There is complaints about books not being sent. I have ordered the books long ago and have yet to receive my copy. I haven't been able to find an email to contact. Thanks. There's comments about him sending the wrong things to the wrong people and then never being able to be reached to fix it. Like people getting multiple books and they're like, I only want one, and him not responding. So I'm a little weary about this, and I'm still backing it because I'm like, you know,
that's in that situation.
It's a book as a toy collector I'd like to have.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't collect turtles, but it's one of those franchises that is pretty large. It's a beast when you're trying to sort stuff. And for something that would show me characters, weapons, and everything, I kind of want something like that because we haven't had a turtle book like that like we have for Joe or Star Wars or Transformers. So this would be kind of nice to have. But it's on Kickstarter. You can find it. I believe just under TMNT book or TMNT action figures, you should find it. Again, I would be very wary about backing it back at your own discretion. You know, cross your fingers and hope that it's legit and it happens.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to roll the dice.
Yeah, sometimes you do. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't know, man. Again, like I said, it's kind of one of those books that's like, people have tried before and have failed pretty miserably. So it'll be nice to see if somebody pulls it off this time around and can actually do it. We see we answer some fan questions. Dave's so excited for your questions, people. Glenn Johnson says, how often do you go into your toy room and how much time do you spend in it, David?
Well, you know, it depends, honestly. Like, there can be, like, sometimes months that I won't go downstairs.
Yes.
And there'll be times, like this weekend, where I was down there pretty much the entire weekend. The
entire weekend. And Dave, like we said earlier, there was lots of cursing, because how many waves of Marvel Legends did you
four.
Have? Yeah, four. Four waves of Marvel Legends, people.
Of David which I got about a third onto the shelf, definitively.
Great. So yeah. Now there's... at this point, what do? You just, like, make that whole middle shelf Legends and try to decide where the rest of the stuff at the end goes?
I've thought about that.
Yeah?
Considered that, yeah. I've considered pulling some stuff out.
But then it's like, where do you put that stuff?
Well, there's some Batman stuff that could probably go in the Batman. Like, the Batman area is old.
It's just crammed.
Filled up, too, yeah. I don't know. A lot of stuff, well, you know, some of them are like, there's like, there one wave is Guardian of the Galaxy, so there's like another Peter Quill,
right.
Another Gamora,
right.
You know, another Rocket, so it's like, yeah, I can bin those guys, because I've
right.
already got them out on the shelf,
but
or upgrade.
I would say that the Guardians 2 stuff was much better figures than the first waves.
Yeah, generally.
Yeah.
But they're different costumes, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But at the same time, it's like, I already did that with Avengers 2, and now they're kind of shoved in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it getting to the point where the chair and the couch will have to be removed from the basement in order to make more room?
Maybe.
Because we got rid of the bed. The bed's gone.
Got rid of the bed.
Soon there'll be no furniture down there. It'll just be shelves.
Yes. What it's for.
Yeah, it's true. Christopher Haywood wants to know, is Danny's son Spencer a fan of Puppet Duvall, and have they met? And if they haven't, you should get the first meeting on camera. I don't think Danny has ever let Spencer watch anything of Puppet Duvall.
A good idea.
And I did not have a chance to ask Danny that because he's been in the process of moving stuff out of their house. I don't know if into storage or into their new house. So I have not talked to Danny a whole lot. I would assume that he is not, because he has not seen Puppet Duvall. I know that he likes Sesame Street and he likes Cookie Monster, and Puppet Duvall is nothing like Cookie Monster.
No.
So it is not something that has come up, but I will try to get Dan's answer on that sooner than later. John Lefevre says, what became of Dave's attempt to get the Woman's Day space station built?
It was getting built. There were, you know, it's getting pictures of pieces in progress, and then he went on a cruise, and I don't know if he died or.
Well, I would imagine he went back to work too.
Yeah, he's a handyman, so summertime is usually pretty busy for him.
Right.
And he did specifically ask me if I wanted like the stuff that he'd already done, or if I wanted it all finished.
At once, right?
Yeah, I mean, because he was really getting into it too. So I don't know.
Just
cursed.
Well, it'd be a good thing to maybe call him and say, hey,
I know, but I'm not
just
that...
want to touch base. I know you're busy, but I just wanted to... You've already given him money.
A little bit, yeah.
You should probably call him and touch base, David.
You know.
Just because. And not feel like a jerk about it. Just call him and be like, hey, just want to touch base. Just want to see, you know, I know you're busy. I know you're working, but, you know, hadn't heard from you in a while. Just wanted to see how things were going.
Well, to be fair, since May, I've kind of... The thing stalled out in February.
Right.
Since May, there's been a lot more on my...
Well, that's true, but, I mean, now your plate's kind of...
Multiple deaths.
Yeah, I know. But your plate's kind of clean.
Well, you'd think that. Well, we had a... I don't know, because you don't follow Tracy on Facebook, but she almost had to put one of hers to sleep, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. And then, of course, Brad's mom, and it's like...
Yeah, our friend Brad's mom had to have some back surgery done, and that was kind of...
Apparently it was very successful, and she feels a million times better.
Yes.
But it's still surgery.
Yeah, it's still surgery. It's still scary.
So.
Too much stuff with animals, man. Too much.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, like, he apparently spent $1,500 on a cap they dropped off at the site.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, and the next day I went back and someone dropped off a kitten. It's like, ugh.
Oh, my God. No.
So point being, I've been wrapped up in other things to sweat this guy.
True. The year can only get better, David.
At this point, yeah. Pretty much. There's nowhere to go.
But up. I think we've both been to the pit of doom and despair.
I'm running out of family to die, so there's that benefit, I suppose.
No. Don't die on me, David.
Well, apparently my normal blood pressure is worse than your bad blood pressure. That's not comforting.
Yeah. I could be wrong. Maybe the doctor... I mean, my doctor is like 80, so...
Well, no. Like, well, the nurse usually takes it anyway.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, the doctor takes mine.
Well, okay. Wow, schmancy.
Yeah.
To be fair, man, they change those... Like, the nurse told me one time, they literally... Like, my blood pressure was always high, but in the normal range.
Right.
And then they literally changed the standard, so now I'm never in the normal range.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird. You're in the abnormal range?
I'm in the high. Oh. They dropped it down like 10 points.
It's good times. Alexis Lasik says, first of all, I just heard about Dash, been busy and not been going to people's walls, etc. Wanted to say that I'm sorry to hear about him, and you were my thoughts. Thank you, sir. What is your favorite fast food toy? I don't know if I have a favorite per se.
You collect these things. How do you not have a favorite?
I do, but I like them all. If I had to have
boo, hiss, boo.
If I had to have a favorite, it would be the lenticular gummy bear, the large medallions that I believe came from Wendy's that are super difficult to find. I found two of the four, I think, randomly at places. Those might be my favorite just because I like how they look. What is your fast food? What is your fast food? What is your favorite fast food premium item? Glasses, books, records, etc. I like the last. I like the glasses.
You
I
think do collect the glasses.
Yeah, I like the collector glasses. I think they're nicely done. There's a lot more once you start getting into them that were released, especially in the early part of the 70s. Like, there's a lot of collector glasses that got released. Not usually a popular culture, but of like comics. Like, there's Popeye glasses, and there's some.
There's a whole Looney Tunes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think from either Burger King or McDonald's.
There's a lot of stuff. So I like the glasses. And finally, so Draper does not feel left out. What is your favorite and least favorite Joe and Cobra character?
My favorite Joe is Mercer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the
Cobra Viper. The Cobra Viper that turned good.
That turned good. Yeah. Well, I always think he didn't necessarily turn good. He just like turned less evil.
That's true.
But I always thought he was cool. I just thought the idea of this guy who was like, you know, was on the inside and turned around. I always thought he was cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, my favorite Cobra is the Baroness.
Obviously.
With probably Croc Master being a bit close.
Creepy Baroness Shrine.
Creepy Baroness Shrine. Yeah.
You do like Croc Master a lot.
He's cool, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of those dumb things that just strikes me as kind of almost like he's this cheesy Florida security, you know, like you see the signs out front.
Yeah.
You know, he sold those security systems and I don't know, he just like joined Cobra and started training alligators. I don't know. It's like it's so dumb and yet almost plausible. I just kind of love it.
Yeah, you're like,
the idea that Cobra Island is like overrun with alligators. And I don't know. It was when I was a kid that really fired my imagination.
Yeah.
Least favorites. I don't know that I have a least favorite Joe per se. I'm not a big fan of Duke.
Oh,
I don't hate him, but I just
I say Duke's not near Cyclops level.
No. I don't think there's any Joe. Or Cobra, that's Cyclops level of hatred. I'm not a big fan of Duke. I was always a Snake Eyes Scarlet shipper, if you want to call it that. I was the comics.
Understandable.
I'm trying to think of like, you know, a lot of the later era ones are just kind of dumb. I'm not a big fan. Cobra, I don't hate Dr. Mindbender, but he's just...
kind of dumb.
So, like, the idea is cool, but, like, the execution is so weird that he's this half-naked guy with a monocle and a handlebar mustache. It's like, we were selling this to our children in the 80s. Yeah. It's like this weird German fetish thing.
I was Dr. Mindsbinder.
He was a kindly dentist.
Yes, he was a kindly dentist.
Who was trying out a machine that would help you, like, not feel any pain, and it scrambled his brain. So now he's an evil sadist.
God bless G.I. Joe. God bless Larry Hama.
I know. That or maybe Overlord. I don't know Overlord enough to dislike him per se, but like he was one of like the guys they kind of like... They're always trying to bring in a guy to like knock off Cobra Commander.
Right.
Like, to like replace Cobra Commander. And they never clicked with anybody. And Overlord seems like the least clicky of all of them.
Of all of them.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't. There's nobody I really hate in G.I. Joe. Like, I hate Cyclops. I hate Gambit in the X-Men.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wee, you want these electronic cards that I'm blasting you with energy. Oh,
yeah,
yeah, boo.
All right, let me.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that visual.
You're welcome.
Wow.
You're welcome.
But wouldn't she explode? I guess she'd absorb his powers.
She might, yeah.
Wow, that's...
She just touches Bishop first, and then she can absorb all that energy.
Oh, wow. Okay, we're really overthinking this a little.
Well, you know, later edition rogues could actually access every power that she'd ever...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then they ran into the problem they ran into with Peter from Heroes, where it's like, well, if you can just do anything, then you kind of kill the dramatic tension.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Well, I don't know what they're doing now. They kind of sandbagged the... As I've mentioned, they sandbagged the X-Men. They brought it back, but I don't...
Yeah, they...
I don't know.
They crapped on it real hard.
It's because they couldn't get the movies back.
That's true. Dave and I have an exciting weekend next weekend, which we'll talk about more in a couple weeks, but...
Yeah, I would assume.
We're, I know, Thursday is the Five Doctors, the Riff Track special of the Five Doctors, which Dave and I are going to go see. Friday, we're traveling to Indianapolis, Indiana.
Well, first we're going to Kokomo.
We're
going to get there fast and then take it slow.
Yeah. Because neither one of us have been to the new Kokomo toy store.
We have not.
Dave was at the original one, but has not gone to the new one yet.
I have not.
We're going to travel there and check that out first and see what all the hype and hubbub's about. Then we're going to drive to Indianapolis and spend the night at the Elder Irizarry's homestead.
The one people like.
Yes, the one Irizarry people like.
I don't know if he's the one, but I mean, he's of the two that we know, he's the one people like.
Yeah, poor Mike. Then Dave and I are going to venture.
He dishes it out just as good as he takes it.
That's true. Then Dave and I are going to venture to Gen Con for the first time. Well, for the first time for me.
My first time for the Indie Gen Con.
For the Indie Gen Con, yeah. So I'm very very excited.
I'm going to go hang out with the nerds.
With the nerds.
Roll our D20. Roll our
D20. Hey, guys. You want to play my games with me? Kids and games.
I don't know about how many kids will be there, but there'll be games.
Bigfoot makes me laugh still. Hi! Hi, little boy. Play a game with me.
At this point, because we kind of came in late in the process, we're mostly just going to go to the dealer hall.
We are.
But you know what? It's a heck of a dealer hall.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty immense. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. And then, of course, Dave and I drive back that Saturday night because it's only 3 hours away.
Yeah.
It's not that far. Not a bad drive. So if it was longer, we'd probably stay again. But it's not a bad drive.
Yeah, as long as we hit the road like by 5.
By 5 or 6. Yeah. It'll be fine. But I look forward to that. We'll talk more about that in a couple weeks. We'll be back next week with an all-new show. Maybe I'll get an answer from Danny. I'll try to send him a text and say, hey, had somebody asked if Spencer had seen Puppet of All, and see what Danny said. So Danny might say, I'm not letting my son watch that horrible, horrible beast. His hatred may run too deep at this point, folks. Mm-hmm. Too deep.
Yeah.
It's the downfall of your mortal enemy being a puppet.
Okay.
They do hate each other. Although they do get along a lot better than past. Like, they seem to tolerate one another.
Well, I think they have a mutual enemy in you.
So. Well, that's true. That's sad. God, my life's awful. Well, gang, on that depressing note, make sure to check out our sponsor, Shelled Comics, the Shelled Comics blog, and more at shelledcomics.com.
I was just saying it, like, for the purpose of the thing. I love you.
I know. I appreciate that, David. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order and on YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder and youtube.com/BoardTheShow. Check out our Trypticon review that's up right now.
Reviewed a toy.
Yay.
Shut up and leave us alone.
We did a thing.
And we didn't break it either.
No, we didn't. That was the scariest
thing. Your blood pressure is all jacked up.
Jesus Christ. Scariest damn thing I've ever done in my life is trying to transform that monstrosity. And I just kept thinking, I'm like, people have broken this creature's hips. Oh, dear God, this is a $200 Transformer. I'm going to destroy it.
I had no idea this was an issue when I let him play with my toy.
Which is why I didn't bring it up until after I was done. I was like, here you go, didn't break it.
It's probably smart.
It's a smart idea on Duvall's learning. And we'll be back next week, gang. So until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.